This month, the federal court ruled funds from the NDIS can be used for sexual health services. These include getting a sex therapist or a sex worker. The federal government opposes the decision, but advocates believe it's a win for the disability sector. Eduardo Jordan spoke with Professor of Public Service Research at the University of New South Wales, Helen Dickinson, to find out more.
Could you please tell us a little bit more about the High Court's decision on Australians with disabilities accessing sexual health services through the NDIS?
So there's a bit of a history to this case. So it starts around the middle of 2000 when a woman who has multiple sclerosis and some other health conditions wanted the NDIS to fund services for her that meant that she could have sexual fulfillment. So she has some limitations that means she can't achieve sexual release without health, and so she requested some sex support for that. That was turned down by the National Disability Insurance Agency, and so she took it to appeal to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal last year, and that found in her favour. So what that did was made a distinction that one of the things that she wanted was sexual therapy. They believed that that was reasonable and necessary for the NDIS to fund that. The NDIA then appealed that case to the federal court, and the decision made last week was that the initial decision by the tribunal should be supported, and that the NDIS should fund sex therapy services as something that's reasonable and necessary under the scheme.
Now, why is the federal government fighting to stop this funding?
I don't know, really. They've said a few things. So Minister Robert, who has responsibility for the NDIS, has said that funding sexual services isn't in line with community expectations. And in the evidence that they put into the two court cases, what they also argued was that if you were to fund these sorts of services for every person in the NDIS who's a similar characteristic as this woman, that would be incredibly expensive. But both of the courts dismissed those claims and argued that the evidence that they put together around funding was worst-case scenario funding. It made a lot of quite big assumptions. And it also didn't take into account the fact that these sorts of services could actually be preventative in some senses. So if you funded these services, then it might reduce need for other things like around mental health or other well-being services.
Okay. Now, could you expand a little bit more about the human rights side of this particular issue?
And what that sets out is that people with disability have the right to enjoy the highest standard of health without discrimination, including sexual health. So what they argue is that we need to take a human rights perspective to disability and look to support people around areas where they might face discrimination or have difficulty gaining equal access to things. And so that sort of framework suggests that actually it is a human right to have fulfillment in areas that are developed as important. And the NDIS was formed on the basis that people with disability should be given more choice and control over the sorts of services and supports that they access, and they should be able to direct the kind of care that they receive according to their priorities in life.
How do you see this issue will end, and how is the disability sector benefiting from this decision?
The NDIA has stated that it's noted and respects the judgment of the court, but doesn't believe that the NDIS funds should be used to fund sex work, and so they're considering their options at the moment. There has been some media reporting that the Minister Stuart Robb suggested that they might consider amending the NDIS legislation so that it explicitly rules out the ability to use these funds for sex-related support services. So that's potentially one thing that we could see happen. I would imagine there might be some people around the country who previously applied for sexual therapy services under the NDIS who may have had those declined, and perhaps then they might want to reapply for that or have some reconsideration given this, or other people might have this as a priority and see that it's a possibility for them to get access to those sorts of services. So we could see some of that happening, although no, if you talk to a lot of people in the disability community, they will tell you actually that some of these services are already funded by the NDIS and through other disability support services, and somehow have gone under the radar and haven't been picked up in the same sort of way as this case has. So we may see increase of this, or we may see the minister moved to bring in legislation which would completely rule it out.